This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 282 of Shudders Inc., the last episode for 2014. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, once again, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are ya?
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store, but the prettiest sight you'll see is the holly that will be on your own front door. You got bells, dude.
How's that for timing?
Did you like that?
Do bells? Yeah. You didn't know I was going to sing. I didn't know you had bells.
There you go.
Oh, you know, if we hadn't said anything.
Yeah.
Tell you what, edit this bit out. If we hadn't said anything, they would have thought that was, oh, that's brilliant. Nice work with the bells. Where'd they come from?
I've had them for years.
Really?
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah.
So I'm working to a Christmas song.
Because every now and again, it's just really handy to have those bells. Like doing what I do as a living, as an audio engineer, it's handy to have them.
It's handy to have bells.
At Christmas time, you always want bells. And sometimes you can search through 100 sound effects libraries and not find bells doing exactly what you want them to do. Yeah. So having them is just really handy. Of course, they're only little tiny ones, as you could probably...
Well, I've heard you've only got tiny bells.
Tell by the pitch of them. But it's better than no bells
there,
at all.
Shall we?
So how's your week been?
It's been an interesting one.
Do tell.
I was on the other side of the camera all day Sunday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That must have been a rude shock.
I was being the model.
Right.
You should ask what kind of
doing,
model.
Doing more of before, those before shots.
No, before model. No, I was Santa for a day.
Right.
At my 3-year-old's childcare centre.
Oh, okay.
And so I had to go around.
She got into the entrepreneurial spirit very early, didn't she?
Oh, dear. Hawking out dad. No, well, the childcare centre came and asked me a few weeks ago if I'd do it. I said, what, am I the oldest, fattest man you know? And they said, yes. So I was like, okay. It's quite a lot of pressure. I didn't realize how much pressure being Santa is.
Oh, you couldn't get – there's not enough money in the world to convince me to do that.
Because, you know, everything you do, every child that you scare, or you're damaging them for life.
Yeah.
The experience you give that kid at that moment can make or break them for years.
Right.
Because I had to come in twice. I did not because it's like two different groups of party, two different age groups at two different times. And so I've come in the first time. I'm ho ho hoing. I'm going around the outside party area. Everyone's partying.
Yeah.
And there's this kid having his face painted. He'd be, I don't know, 3. And I've come around, looked a little bit over to his side, gone ho ho. He's looked at me, just started screaming, top of his voice, uncontrolled, hysterical screaming. I've gone, oh, okay.
Nice.
So, yeah, I had many a photo taken.
Yep.
And that was a lot of fun. That was I made everyone. I got one guy, his kid wouldn't come and sit on me, so I made dad sit next to me.
Right.
And I was trying to get all the kids to hold my bells, which sounds, and jingle them and go ho, ho, ho. So I've got this guy. This guy is bigger than me. Now I'm 6'2 and 200-odd pounds.
Yeah.
He's bigger than me.
Right.
I got him to hold the bells. I made him go, ho, ho, ho. He's going, ho, ho, ho. I said, no, no. Ho, ho, ho. He's going, ho, ho, ho. I said, no, come on. It's got this really high-pitched voice. Anyway, today I'm walking out of the childcare centre, and this same guy is coming. Now, he doesn't recognise me, of course.
Right.
This guy is coming down, and I open the gate for him. He goes, oh, thank you very much. That's his voice. He's got the Michael Jackson voice going on. Oh, oh. That was kind of funny.
Excellent.
So that was my Sunday ruined. Done. But Saturday I had a flash workshop, which went really well. I was happy with that.
And, okay.
Did the typical take them to the horrible locations and try and produce good photographs. So we shot in a public car park.
Right.
On the roof, there was a big puddle.
Oh, yes, I saw that shot. It looked awesome.
Puddle on a car rooftop. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then just a couple of other shots around the place. And, we did well. It was a good day. But it's amazing what you can do with very little around. We as photographers are always looking for the cool stuff to shoot with. But,
yep.
Just keep it stupid simple.
No, yeah. I love the image you put up. Looked great.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty darn cool. And there's another one I did, another level down with this kind of grungy wall, and which it came out really well as well. So okay. I
must have missed that one, but I did notice the one up on the rooftop in with the puddle.
Yeah.
In the behind the scenes shot.
Yeah.
The woman that's holding the flash had it pointed out at 3 o'clock from the model.
Yeah, look, I didn't say my customers are the smartest. Yeah.
Right.
But they're coming to my workshops.
Right.
It's, I got to tell you, it was, what we were doing is we had to try and get the maximum, because we're shooting at maximum everything, except for ISO, which was minimum.
Right.
Minimum ISO, max shutter speed, sync speed, max ISO, max aperture,
right.
Just to try and knock down this incredibly bright ambient. We're pretty much shooting directly in the sun.
Yeah.
So what we're getting the people to do is any sort of hold the flash and lean it in until it was just out of people's shots, the lenses they had.
Yep.
Try and get the maximum exposure out of the power out of the flash.
Yep.
So it could have been that.
Why didn't you do two flashes?
Because it's a one flash workshop.
Oh, okay. You have to come to the two flash workshop for that.
Right. Don't give it all away in one day, dude.
Right. Okay.
Sell the meat and the potatoes on the same day.
Now, did you see Dave Clark's poster?
No.
Oh, are you kidding?
Yes. No, I'm not kidding.
Oh. Well, I'm just dropping it on the chat window of Skype for you. So we'll talk amongst ourselves until such times as you receive it. Well, he sent it via email, but I thought he'd sent it to the boys, which meant that you should have received it. But maybe you did not.
I didn't.
Let me have a look for that original email. And who did he send it to? Oh, no, he just sent it to me. Oh, that's why.
Maybe he's waiting for my birthday.
Maybe.
But then again, we won't be recording near my birthday, so we need to see it today.
That's right.
But you sent a huge file, dude. It's 810K.
Yeah.
And the speed of the internet I've got, that's going to take until my birthday, which is 10 more days.
We'll continue on with the podcast, and when that's finished, we'll come back to this topic.
Yeah, so look at that one.
What?
I just sent you a photo.
Oh.
Bing.
Oh, okay. The flickr.com.
So that's inside the that's
404 inside the page not found. Awesome what? Image. I've never seen an image like that. That is brilliant.
Doesn't get much better than that, does it?
It doesn't.
Think about it. When you think that's one of my best photos.
That's really weird because I was just on Facebook just before we started, and I clicked on a link from my feed, and it told me that the page was not available, and yet that thing had a hello.
Hello.
Oh, thought that was you hanging up.
No, there was the file finishing download.
Oh, right.
Oh, here we go. 50th anniversary special screening. Bruce Williams Glenda in the Sony clause. That's pretty clever. Given points for that. It was the night.
Exactly. But anyway.
You just can't get good buddy people doing stuff for nothing for you anymore. It was the night before his 50th birthday, and Santa was grumpy. He only came once a year, and he was trapped with a full-frame Canon body. And that was down a chimney, apparently. That's why Santa doesn't have any kids. Anyway, that was until his one true friend, Bruce the Elf, led him to the magic of Sony mirrorless. This is a touching story of Santa and his APS-C-sized Elven, I thought it said 11, Elven Buddy Bruce, who undertake a heartwarming adventure through Melbourne's Blood Alley in their quest to successfully downsize the man in red. A true miracle indeed. Dave Clark, the age. The part where Santa finally breaks down and admits to Elf Bruce that he has been wrong about Sony is a true magical piece of cinema. As they embrace in scenes not seen since Brokeback Mountain, I could hear people sobbing throughout the cinema. Richard Annable, the son. I would be sobbing in the cinema too if that happened, though. isn't that just lovely?
So thank you, Dave. That was
thank you, Lions.
It was a good
thank
chuckle.
You,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. yeah, so I don't know what's going on with these external links that just keep on not loading for me. It's really bizarre.
No,
both of those links have come up. Let me just try a different browser. As much as I absolutely hate the idea of using Internet Explorer, I am just going to try using it instead of Chrome. No, Page 404, not found.
How very bizarre.
How bizarre. All right, well, I shall check those links out after.
It was just a picture of from the garage, which I rather liked a bit. But, you know.
Excellent. Oh, well, in that case, I shall throw those into the show notes then.
Yeah, it's just a bit of a good look and go, that's crap. Yeah. Yeah. You picked on Bruce's photos last week, and look at this one. You sounded a bit tetchy last week, dude.
I did?
Yeah.
Why?
When I was going your photos, you sounded...
No.
You know,
fully expected it.
You know what? You know what I've always liked to say. Honesty is the most amount of fun for me. Anyway, cool. So what's your week been like? 7 days?
It has been very much like that. Actually, it's felt a bit like 10.
Really?
Yeah.
That time of year.
Yep, absolutely.
How many adverts did you get? How many lots of 30 seconds of work did you do this week?
Actually, this week, I say that, but this week has actually been a little quieter, which has been somewhat pleasant.
So you're bleating about nothing.
Something like that.
I loaded an entire 6 meter skip today all by myself.
Right.
And my body's first day's hard work I've done in years is killing me.
As in like a mini skip rubbish bin?
Rubbish.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Is this from the house renos?
Yeah, we started the garden remodel yesterday.
Right.
Front garden started. So I've got to drive a bobcat, which is kind of fun.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it didn't kill anything. The guy who's doing the stuff, he ran over our water meter and had to get the plumbers out to fix that.
Whoops.
But it was kind of handy because we're raising the garden a bit. We wanted to raise the meter anyway. We were going to kind of do it a bit dodgily, but now they came out.
And they've done it properly.
Might as well do it properly whilst they're here. Exactly.
Excellent.
So, yes, that's all stuff. So I had to go into the den of iniquity that is our garage and empty it of rubbish today.
Right.
So 6 metres of...
How long have you lived in the house?
15 years.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be some crap accumulated in there.
I had another guy here living with us, and so a bunch of his stuff he didn't need anymore. So TVs and tables.
When did he move out?
3 years ago.
Mate, his stuff is fair game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mate, if it's been there more than 12 months, it's fair game.
I mean, you know, it was cool with it, but it was just like, oh, God, it's a lot of work. A lot of work. So I'm a bit on the weary side tonight, so I won't be my normal energetic ebullient self.
Right.
I'll be somebody else.
Okay. Excellent. So now, last week you were talking about the flash with a 2 millionth of a second.
Did you put your little finger to your mouth when you said that? 2 millionth of a second.
That's lame.
I know.
Did you hear?
I saw.
You saw.
Did you see?
On popphoto.com, the...
1 trillion.
1 trillion frames per second. I want to know how they're going to get any light in.
Oh, no, they're all black photos.
Right.
The photos of the inside of the lens caps.
Fantastic.
That's brilliant.
Reproduced with stunning detail.
Stunning lack of detail. Yes. Isn't that funny?
So anyway, that link will be in the show notes for those that want to check it out. The second link that I sent was on Flickr, and this was a girl from a Ukrainian girl, and this was her 365 self-portrait project. And I'm sure there are, you know, many more of these that are equally worth looking at, but this one was just one that I came across, and some of her self-portraits were just amazing. And to think that, you know, I'm assuming she did it in 365 days, as was the plan. Mm. That's a hell of a lot of work.
I like the series where it's just like an eye cut out, a nose cut out,
yes.
Lips, ears, mouth.
Yes.
Pretty cool. No, she's got some cool stuff. I mean, it's very hard to come up with something.
Oh, to come up with that degree of variety of, you know, styles of portraiture, you know, in a project like that, and to then execute it on a daily basis. I mean, there are a few images there where it's obvious that, you know, she's got a week's worth out of one shoot.
Yeah.
You know, and hey, I don't blame her for that at all.
I would try to get a year's worth out of one shoot.
I think you'd be, there would get to a point where you go, how can I milk this a little further? You know?
Yeah. So, yeah.
But
no, it's very nice. Very cool.
There are some beautiful images in there.
Very anyway, imaginative.
That will also be in the show notes.
Oh, you know, there's one there where she's aged herself, which is really cool.
Yes. Yes.
Very clever.
That was very good.
Yeah.
I did also notice, though, that as you get further through the, like, on the first page it's all her, but further through it appears that she's sort of gone off the beaten path and there are photos of other people.
Which is unusual for a self-portrait.
Yes.
So a selfie challenge.
I don't know if she was just got sick of photographing herself, so she started to photograph her boyfriend, or...
She may have been somebody else that day, though.
Oh, maybe.
Personalities.
Could just be that. So I don't know whether that really was her having aged herself, or if, you know, it might be a mother. I don't know.
No, it looks like her, but, yeah, you can tell.
The eyes, yeah, look like her, but that doesn't look like just makeup. That looks like...
It's not makeup. It's photoshopped.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, maybe it is.
Yeah.
Well, if that's what it is, she did a pretty awesome job of that.
Yeah. No, it's cool stuff.
Something I saw just this evening. Recently. Peter Lick, Australian landscape photographer extraordinaire, has just sold the most expensive photograph ever at $6.5 million, and I'm assuming that's US dollars, for a photo called Phantom, shot in one of his favorite locations, which is Antelope Canyon in Utah, I think it is. Is it Utah? Yeah, so he now holds 4 of the top 20 slots for most expensive photograph ever sold. The
question you have to ask yourself is why?
Why would someone pay $6.5 million for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's a nice photo.
More dollars than cents. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I've seen other people shoot Antelope Canyon, to my mind, just as competently as Peter Lick. I'm not discounting the quality of his work. Yeah. But absolutely. I think he's just a brilliant marketer.
The same guy who bought that bought two other ones from him the same day.
Yep.
So $10 million worth of sales.
Yep, for 3 prints.
Okay, no. Oh, gosh.
You're talking about the far canal, not the canal that's nearest, but the one that's far away.
Which canal was he shooting?
I heard what you were saying.
It wasn't the near canal, was it?
No. That's right.
I mean, it's like the road less traveled. You want to go to the far canal, not the near canal. Always better photos.
That's right. Now I'm wondering...
Really?
I am. Over the course of the 7 days that were your week just gone, did you, by any chance, procure a camera for the Pass the Camera project?
Was I supposed to do that?
I'll take that as a no. Right, moving on. I shall get it organized.
Is that my...
I'll get it organized, okay? I'm saying it now, in public, I'll take care of it.
It didn't seem to stop me last week saying I'll take care of it in public.
Oh, dear. Now, Adam posted a couple of things on the Shutters Inc. Facebook page wall through the week. One was a Petapixel post to a thing called the Relio. It's a tiny light. They're 35mm cubes of LED lights, but they're not a flash. They're a constant light source.
Yeah.
But what I couldn't understand was that this guy made them with color temperatures of 3000K, 3500K, and I think the other one was 4500K. Mm. And my first thing was, where's the daylight white balanced version at, you know, 55 or 5600K? It just seemed like an odd thing to overlook.
Email, ask him, why? What's it all about? Tell me more.
Yeah, but...
I agree, that's a bit bizarre.
But they look like great little lights, and given that they're constant light sources, the guy was suggesting that they were very handy if you just wanted to light things to take photos with your smartphone, which, you know, obviously you can't do off-camera flash with. So these were just great portable, great portable light sources that you could just, you know, slap in your pocket. So, interesting.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool indeed.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of those little things coming out now, though, those little LED lights for iPhones and stuff.
Yeah, there's lots of them. Adam also posted a thing on F-Stoppers.
He's been busy.
He has.
Not doing anything.
Why?
Get a job, Adam.
Okay to hate your old photographs.
Why?
Well, because if you hate them, it means you've progressed.
Unless you hate how good they were then and now how crap yours are now.
Well, that's the other side of it.
Oh, I hate they used to take good photos. Now look what I can take. I can't take anything good anymore. And we've all been there, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
All been there.
So, an interesting read. The three main points: don't stop looking. 2, don't make excuses for your work. And 3, do seek other opinions.
Watch out for those opinions.
They're like a-holes.
But I just wouldn't trust them. I wouldn't trust anyone's opinion, including my own.
Right.
Well,
says the man who judges photo competitions.
How can you judge anyone's bloody opinion? Take anyone's opinion?
No. Can't. On a subjective art form.
Yeah. You can listen to what people say. Just don't believe it too much. Don't get too carried away with it all.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. There's an easy solution to it, but just don't.
Yeah. Steve Peters sent us a link.
Did he?
On the Shutters Inc. Facebook wall.
Steve, if I hadn't mentioned.
I think you might have mentioned it once or twice. Or 10 times. Leaving Nikon for Sony. This was a YouTube.
Leaving Nikon for Sony.
Yeah, this was a YouTube video. And I will confess, Steve, I didn't go back and re-watch it because I do remember seeing this probably 6 or 8 months ago. And I remember at the time watching it and thinking that I wasn't particularly impressed with this guy's reasons. And that's not that I'm defending Nikon, and it's not that I'm, you know, pro-Sony or taking a dog in this fight in any direction. I just remember listening to this guy talking and thinking, yeah, I'm just not buying any of this. So, but anyway, I shall put the link in the show notes for anyone who wants to check it out. So, but given that I'm the only Sony shooter in the Shutter Zinc universe.
Oh, that's for sure. I implied the Shutter Zinc was an implied.
Of course you did. Now, Rob Coates posted...
Words about him.
Now, where was this? Was this?
Get out more often, Rob.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Get out. Go take some photos.
Just checked in dictionary.com, and would you believe it defines minify as to minimize or lessen the size or importance of something. Functionality is defined as the quality of having a practical use, the quality of being functional. So I guess that one's legitimacy depends on how you use it. Perhaps a camera's range of functions gives it functionality. Any grammarians out there, does it matter? Should I get out more?
Just because it's in the dictionary.
Yeah, it makes it right. Makes it right.
It's a word. Look up for shizzle. I'm sure you'll find all sorts of...
I don't think you're going to find that in the OED.
You'll be surprised. You can find lol in the dictionary, dude.
In which dictionary? Urban Dictionary?
If we're using dictionary.com as a Bible of language, lol, I'm on it right now. Lol is in the dictionary.
No.
It is.
It's not in the OED.
But it's in dictionary.com, which is...
That's one step above Urban Dictionary.
But this is the point about if just because the words are becoming commonly used and therefore they get put into a dictionary, which is pretty much how words get into dictionaries from common use, doesn't make them right.
Well,
we don't need to
how long does it have to be in common usage before you consider it a valid
stupid is part. Still stupid, not with it, you know, stupidality. Stupid does. It doesn't need to be stupid. Here's one from today, dude. Here's one from today.
Okay, well,
listen to this.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this.
Dimensionality.
Let me ask you this. Is internet a valid word?
Yes.
Why?
Here's the thing. Was there a word for internet before and they just added a couple extra letters on the end, keeping the same word pretty much exactly as it is, but adding more letters to it?
If they
come out with internetality, because we have lots of internet ability and lots of internet connections, does it make internetality a word?
No, but there was a time, here's the thing, not so long ago, when internet didn't exist as a word.
Became a word. There was no function, then they made up function. Adding ality to the end of an existing word doesn't change the word. Adding ality to the end of internet. I've got this little video from Bambi Cantrell to put in the things, which is talking about looking at light and things like that.
Right.
But she mentions how light adds dimensionality to a picture.
Right.
Dimensionality.
Mm. Right.
Delusionality, maybe. There's no such word as dimensionality. Just because you've come up with it. Functionality. Minify. Oh, just.
But my point is, the reason English has survived for as long as it has is because it is a language that is continually in flux. Absolutely. There are always new words coming into vogue, and there are always words that are fading out. And at some point, you know, a word starts to enter the lexicon, and people, you know, like cranky old men like Glyn, rile against it until such times as it's been around for so long that it's just accepted as a part of the language.
It may be part of, but it's a stupid part of the language. Adding ality to an already existing, perfectly functional word. So, I mean, I have no problem with language changing.
Okay.
I have a problem with language changing when it doesn't actually change. It just adds more letters. I've got to write now. I don't get to write just the word function or functional. I've got to write functionality. I've got to write more for less. I don't get any more for writing more. I get the same amount, but I have to do more for it.
Okay.
It's like telephones, mobile phones. We wanted smaller, smaller, smaller. I could see the sense in that.
Yeah.
Now some of these things don't even fit in pockets anymore. We're going back to the 1980s. These things are huge.
Yeah, and we love it. The last thing I've got was from Carl Hemmings, who put a link to a YouTube video, and this was how to move your Lightroom catalog from one hard drive to another, and it's not always just as simple as copying all of the files across. I will confess, Carl, I haven't had a chance to watch that video yet, but I certainly will do so because I'm intrigued to see where it goes and what they talk about. But yeah, again, that link will be in the show notes. So, Glyn.
Yeah, I've had some experience a little bit this week, been shifting catalogs from me to my mate Dave Oakley using smart previews.
Oh, okay.
And him doing all the editing for me there and sending back a zip file catalog with smart previews.
Nice.
And as soon as I import them, all my photos start to change.
Oh, nice. And it worked?
Yeah, it worked a treat. Once we finally ironed out the bugs.
Yeah, but, right.
It works a treat.
So why have you got him processing your images?
I'm a lazy bastard.
Right. That's seriously taking it to the next level, isn't it?
Well, see, the things, there were 1,800 images.
Oh, jeez.
It all needed, this is all from this corporate gig I've been doing last week, which all needed this doing to it, that doing to this, just general corrections across the whole lot, batch processing through the whole thing.
Right.
And he said, I can do it, 2 minutes to send it to me. So, all right. You know, never want to kick a gift David in the mouth. Can I just say this?
Yeah.
What do they sing at a snowman's birthday party?
I don't know.
Freeze a jolly good fellow. I thought I might just add a few Christmas jokes as we go through the rest of the podcast.
Right.
Because there's some quality stuff out there. Like,
okay. I'll jingle the bell so we can't hear you.
That jingle so you know that it's a joke. what does Miley Cyrus have at Christmas?
I don't know.
Twerky. That's pretty funny. Anyway, so I came across via Strobus Blogspot, and it is this guy in England called Drew Gardner, who's been doing this thing called the Descendants Project.
Right.
And I was absolutely enamored straight away. Don't know if I like the images too much, but I'm enamored with the concept.
Right.
He's getting all these photographs of these iconic people in the past, like
right.
Wellington and other people.
Okay.
And finding their descendants and photographing them in the same pose as their classic paintings.
Wow.
And I don't know if this is – I don't know how, because I didn't know this, the identity had been agreed upon and had been found out and agreed, but he's doing one with Mona Lisa.
Really?
Yeah. And
I'm with you. I didn't think they'd ever identified who the model was that Da Vinci had used as a subject for that.
This woman in, but it's got, and they've actually done a documentary on this whole making of the Da Vinci one,
right?
Which is pretty cool. So it was I just love the whole concept. There's two. There's one to the Strobus blogspot, which is Lighting It Like Leo is the name of the assignment.
Right.
And because Dave Hobby was flown over to England to be the lighting expert for this particular one.
Wow.
And then Drew Gardner's own website, where he's got all this series of photos. And some are excellent. Some are like, it doesn't look quite right. But some are very cool.
Wow.
So you haven't looked at a couple there?
Yeah. I've just started looking at his website rather than the Strobist.
Yeah, that's probably the best place to go. Because you could see most of the images.
That's it's got the
original, and obviously his photo, which is pretty cool.
Oh, wow!
What a great idea, though.
Wow. Awesome idea, but
what a great idea.
Beautiful execution too.
Some of them are brilliant. Yeah, some are so well done.
Yeah. Wow.
There's a couple there just look a bit photoshopped, rather than.
I'm looking at the great 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 grandson of William Wordsworth. He just looks like some washed up 70s rocker.
Do they know it's Christmas? And so
that's amazing.
So that was kind of cool. Yeah, I just love these brilliant projects.
Man, that must have been so time consuming. Just putting it all together, you know, finding the backgrounds, getting the lighting right, finding the costumes.
Finding the people.
Finding the people, yeah, as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And amazing how much similarity there is, you know.
In some of them,
In some of them, like the Dickens, Charles Dickens' great-great-grandson, you know, phenomenally like Charles
Very
Dickens.
Much. Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I'm going to have to look at the rest of those later. That's great.
Very
That's
cool.
really good. Yeah, okay.
That's good. So then I've got the dimensionality lady, Bambi Cantrell.
Yeah.
Mostly it's just talking a little bit about light and some other stuff, but a little bit about light, and that's always a nice thing to hear other people's opinion. And she does a thing that I do a lot, and which is studying my hand and watching light.
Oh, okay, yep.
And it's just interesting, she does the same thing, and she talks about what she's seeing when she looks at her hand. So that's a cool little trick to look at, guys, if you haven't looked at that. Then I came across something quite shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Shocked.
Yeah.
Have you had your drink now, Bruce?
I have, thank you.
Really shocked. Leica M9 corrosion on the sensor.
On the sensor?
So the glass on the sensor's corroding, apparently.
Well, maybe you shouldn't let salt water get in it.
On a whole bunch of Leica M9s. And how's this? If it happens to you, there's currently a 3-month wait to get it fixed.
What?
And the fix, it more than likely will have the same problem again.
For your $40,000 camera?
Well, Leica M9's like $10,000.
Oh, okay. Even so,
I'd
expect slightly faster service if I'm paying that
3
much.
3 months, and the fix, more than likely, is going to happen again to your
gonna
fix.
Going to do the same
so
thing.
To do it again at some other point.
That's crap.
Just very, very, very poor.
That's crap.
I love New York's Chinatown. I spent a lot of time wandering around there, enjoy wandering Chinatown in New York, and I came across this thing of the Atlantic.com, which always does great photo features. If you look for that regularly, you should. It's great.
Yeah.
But the Chinatown in New York from the 1980s, which you think, well, it's not that long ago. It's not how different
30 years ago. this year, 84.
But it's astounding. Yeah, it could. Some of these photos could easily be from the 50s.
Right.
The clothing, the feel and mood of the place. Yeah. So it's just a great series.
Yeah. Right.
From Chinatown, which I enjoyed over a gander through.
Yeah.
Then, of course, it's the awkward family Christmas photo time of the year.
Oh, lovely.
So I've got a couple of links for everyone to go look at some awkward family Christmas photos because they're always good for a laugh.
Yep. Yeah.
To make our families look semi-normal. And I've only got a couple other things, and we're going to be wrapping up early this week.
Oh, okay.
Which is what we said we were going to do last week.
Right. And didn't.
So we're making up for it this week. Okay. Unless you want to sing some more carols.
I don't mind. If you want to sing carols, you knock yourself out.
No,
there'll be no singing on this end.
Really?
No.
How do snowmen get around?
Get around what?
Get around. How are they mobile?
I don't know.
Ride an icicle.
Right.
And how does Good King Wenceslas like his pizza?
I don't know.
Deep pan, crisp and even. Oh, you got to know the song, dude.
No. I don't know the lyrics to the song.
There'll be people out there in podcasts.
Chuckling away.
Oh, they'll be guffawing.
Excellent.
Guff or...
All right. Well, they can email me and let me in on the joke. Steve McCurry tip?
What did Adam say to his wife the day before Christmas, which, of course, is biblically all wrong.
By 4,000 years or so.
Might not be that Adam.
Right. I don't know. What did he say?
It's Christmas Eve.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, here, look, this is funny because my wife and child are sick with tonsillitis at the moment, as Bruce knows.
Yeah.
And my youngest daughter is calling it tinsellitis because it's near Christmas. And here's what do you eat? What do you get if you eat Christmas decorations? Tinsellitis. Yeah. What happened to her?
Nice.
The
Gary Fong thing. That's great.
The Gary Fong thing. Have you seen this?
Yes, I did see it just before we started recording.
Quite remarkable, isn't it? It's a story that just has to be read. You just have to go through this whole thing and think, I mean, what an a-hole this woman's husband is for starters.
Oh, totally.
How any attorney/lawyer would send in writing stuff saying, your entire livelihood is on the line.
Yep.
Here's what will happen if you do not pay. Your reputation will be ruined. Your livelihood destroyed. Your life will be miserable defending a huge lawsuit, and you'll be in financial ruin. I know your English is not so good, so you need everything spelled out for you.
Yeah.
It's just diabolical.
Yep.
Read the following carefully and think. I will sue you until a jury verdict. This is probably the most worrisome aspect for you, and it should be. You cannot win in a lawsuit, and let me tell you why. He just goes on, and he says he's trying to sue a guy. He charged $3,800 to do this guy's wedding. Here's the thing: the photographer has known the bride for 10 years.
Yeah, right.
Family friends. Yeah.
Wow.
And this guy just said, "He says, and he's suing for the $3,800 plus. He's asking for $300,000 in damages because he doesn't like the photos."
Yeah.
And. And he goes and say, I'm a lawyer, I'm a partner at this firm. That means I have zero out-of-pocket expenses for suing you. It costs me nothing, but I'll subpoena you until you go bankrupt.
Yeah.
What an a-hole.
Yep. There's a great paragraph halfway down the story. I filed a bar complaint and the Washington State Bar leapt quickly to our aid. They served the idiot with notice that he was under investigation and demanded that the lawyer produce every note, memo, complaint for this case and to justify his position that what he had done did not constitute second-degree extortion, a criminal offence in Washington.
Wow.
Oh, boom.
That. Gotta love
that. Slapped badly.
You married to this guy, it's just an amazing story to read through, and it's a really important case because once again we're going to set precedents as photographers where we're being defended should things look, and let's face it, things do go wrong.
Yeah.
So things can happen. People's weddings can get ruined, and doesn't seem to be the case in this case because, as I said, part of their rebuttal was the couple shared over 1,000 images on their Facebook page.
Yeah.
and followed by compliments on the photographers from their family and friends.
And Gary Fong said that he looked through all of the images that the guy had shot on the day, and the majority of them were absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
And this lawyer had just picked out on, you know, the couple that were, you know, a bit off the money.
Yeah.
And decided to try and make a whole case out of it. I was like, wow. Anyway.
Man's just a... These things, which I've got, when it, down the bottom, it's got about the author, Gary Fong.
Yep.
And I've got to find, it's very strange, Gary Fong has been described by Guitar Aficionado magazine as one of the most recognisable names in photography. What? Guitar Aficionado? Are experts in photography? What?
That's lovely.
I don't understand why that you have that as your list. My mate Dave.
Well, look, I've been described by Hoofs and Horns as one of the best audio engineers in Australia. So,
really, you know? Hoofs and Horns. What on earth is Hoofs and Horns? It's a fictitious, isn't it?
No, it's actually a real magazine, but I'm making it up. No. It's a real magazine, like, but no, I have never been mentioned in Hoofs and Horns.
Notting Hill with Julia Roberts and that bumbling English guy. Was
Reese somebody.
No, I can't remember. Yeah, the guy from The Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yeah. I know the guy you mean.
Yeah, and he's from Horse and Hound magazine with his interview. There you are. Hoof and Bell, was it? What was it called?
Hoofs and Horns.
Why hoofs?
Because it's an equestrian and cattle type stuff.
So you've been named one of the best audio guys by a cattle magazine.
I was making it up, but Hoofs and Horns is a real magazine.
Oh, awesome. Dude, that's weird. So dumb where I come from doing that.
Dear.
So what's the most popular Christmas wine?
Do we have to do this? I don't know.
I don't like Brussels sprouts.
Okay. So what's the Steve McCurry tips?
And then there's just a really nice little video there on Steve McCurry talking about the journey. Remember we talked about last week about the pilgrimage being more important than the end?
Yep.
And it's in a similar vein, but Steve, obviously of the Afghan girl fame.
Yes.
It's only like a short, like 5-minute video showing him on some locations and interacting with people and doing some shots. Right. And it just sort of explained how he approaches going out looking for the photo.
Yeah, right.
And it's good. It's very good. So,
is he still employed in photojournalism?
Yeah, he's still shooting. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
For the likes of National Geographic and those sorts of...
I'm not sure who he works for still these days, but he'd be certainly out there shooting in those, you know, countries less visited, shall we say.
Yeah, off the beaten track.
But it's an interesting little video. And it's just once again, it talks about mindset when you go out looking for a photograph. And I think that's an important thing. Those people who can't shoot very often,
yep,
a lot of pressure on themselves when they go out to shoot.
Yep.
Because they want to get, I've got to get the shot, I've got to get the shot. Because I don't get to do it very often. I want to make this opportunity great. And that often can be a big drawdown. It can be, that pressure, that stress can sort of take away from your creativity. But he doesn't talk about that. But, it's an interesting little video. So I thought that'd be kind of a nice way to go.
Cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, people, you've got heaps of links in today's podcast to tide you over the Christmas break. And if you run out of those, go back to some of the links from the old episodes from this year that you didn't get to go.
We're going to do a retrospective, but we're far too lazy, so do it yourself.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So over the next 6 months when we're off for our Christmas break, you get to listen to a whole bunch of...
Now, on what exact day do you... hit the midway point of your century?
December 20th.
Wow.
10 days from
today. Well, mate, have a very happy birthday for the 20th.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
We got absolutely no emails or comments.
I know. Makes me feel special.
Yeah, so anyway.
Can I just say this, though?
Yeah.
That was pretty brutal of the audience not to to do that. But I have to ask this one important question.
Yeah.
Why is it getting harder to buy advent calendars?
I don't know.
So days are numbered.
Boom, boom.
So you should put a sound effect on the end of it. It doesn't quite work the same as a boom system. A jingle, jingle.
Dear. All right, mate. Well, you have a very happy birthday.
Thank you.
And a very Merry Christmas.
And to you and yours.
And a very Happy New Year.
Everybody else out there, have a lovely, and please be safe.
Yes.
We don't lose our listener.
That's
we
it.
We don't have the audience.
That's it.
Everyone have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas.
Yep.
Safe New Year. And we'll be back, what, a couple of weeks into January?
Couple of weeks into January, yep.
Sounds about right to me.
Beautiful. All right, mate, you have a good one.
Thank you, everyone, for listening this year. We appreciate it muchly.
We do. And we'll talk to you in the new year. And
thanks for all the presents. They're not going to send an email. They're not going to send a present, are they?
No.
P.O. Box 316. No, just bye, everybody.
Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.